Good morning, Teach Better family. Welcome to Teach Better Today, where we are live every single morning, hopefully dropping something inspirational, wonderful, with a little bit of banter. My name's Katie Miglin. That's Ray Hewart. And we are so excited to be starting our day with you. So grab your cup of coffee, or your protein shake, or maybe you're just like laying in bed still. You do you, but drop in the comments where you're at and let us know what's one thing that's getting you excited these days, something positive. Fill the comments with some positivity and we'll be right back in just a few seconds. Good morning, friends. Welcome to Teach Better Today, where we go live every single morning, Monday through Friday, on all of our social media platforms. We love to start our day seeing all of you in the comments. So make sure that you drop where you're at, what you're doing, what you're looking forward to, all that good stuff in the comments. But if you're listening on our podcast, welcome. And we are excited to spend a little bit of time with you. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm going to follow. Good morning. I'm going to follow the directions. My name's Ray Hewart. I'm listening from Chicago, and something positive. I don't know. I have to think about that one. There's got to be something positive. My coffee is still warm. That's my, can that be my positive?
My name is
my
Katie.
My positive. Wait, I have this because you just painted your nails. My positive is that I'm wearing orangey red nail polish.
Yeah, which is bright for you.
It's so bright.
Yeah. Well, my name is Katie Miglin, and I'm listening from Central Illinois, just a few hours south of Ray Hewart. And my positive is that it's like fall-ish weather. So we're like starting to get into like the hoodie weather, bonfires, all the things, which if you've been listening to any of the episodes lately, I feel like this has been my main topic of discussion. But because it literally, like in the Midwest, if you live in the Midwest, shout out to all of you, but you know, it's like one day can be 100 degrees, the next day can be 60. So I love this time of year because it's like kind of a mix of both. So just, we need to make sure we maintain a certain temperature. I don't want to go any lower. Just saying.
Are you going to show off your nail color too, since you just painted them?
Yeah. I did just paint them.
Pretty pink. Okay. So what's the perfect weather? Like what's the perfect degree? I would love to see that in the comments because I'd love to hear your positives, but really I like positives are great, but I would much rather hear what your perfect degree temperature is.
I think my is.
It changes because you like the four seasons, which is surprising because I think you only like two seasons.
Yes. I think it changes because like if it's the summer, it's like 80, 85 because I want to be able to like get into water, lay by the water, you know, like do all those things. But as we transition, after I've done my fill of that, I'm okay with like 70, 75.
So you get a fill of that because some people would say like, no, I want it to be 90 degrees all the time because I'm never fulfilled with like, I always want more beach time.
I mean, I wouldn't be upset if I lived somewhere that it was always warm like that, but.
That's what I'm saying. So what's the perfect weather? Like, is it, would you want it to change or is it like, if it was 90 all the time, I'd be happy?
No, I want it to go. I want like summer and fall back and forth because I want bonfires. But pool days.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So I don't know. Like we get those days very rarely in the Midwest. Like we had a few weeks ago, it was like super hot. Kids were in the pool during the day. And then at night I had like a sweatshirt on. But I don't think there's like an actually part of the world of that. Maybe like San Diego. I hear like California has some of those days. But
yeah, I am not a summer fan. I'm trying to be more of a summer. I'm really not. I'm a fall winter girl. So for me, like the days that it's like getting into the 60s, like in 50s, I'm like, yeah, put on like tons of layers. Like I'm like a, I want to wear sandals, but I want jeans and a hoodie.
Okay, yes. And see, I like that after I've had like my summer fill. Like, okay, I've worn, tank tops, I've worn the sundresses, all the things, done all the outdoor stuff, but then it's like, yeah, I'm down with a pair of jeans and flip-flops.
That's good. My dream vacation that I haven't taken yet, and I've been talking about this for years, so I'm sorry if you've been with the Teach Better community and you've heard me talk about this, but like I really want to go on a beach vacation with my dogs where it's cold. And like so we're walking on the beach in like hoodies and jeans, barefoot. Like I want it to be like low 60s on the beach. So
I think
it'd
that's
be like
interesting,
Myrtle.
isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Myrtle Beach in like November or December.
Yeah.
Or like at like Hilton Head area, like that. Like that's what I'm thinking. So I need to make that happen.
Okay.
I've been saying it for years and then like things get in the way.
Okay.
Gonna happen.
Are you gonna
Anywho,
take
that's
other
been fun.
people, or are you gonna just take your dogs?
I am totally fine with other people joining me. Actually, if you're listening now and you want to join me, like I'm totally up for renting a big house and like having it be a big fancy thing. I just like need you to be okay that it's gonna be me and my dogs. And like I guess maybe Matt and the kids can come, but like the priority is me and the dogs.
Okay. Well,
You wanna
cheers
come?
friends to dream vacation. Yeah, I'd love to come, but I want it to be warmer, so but I'll go. I mean, I'm not opposed to any vacation.
I mean, we'll play like board games and eat a
Yeah.
lot of good food. Like,
Yeah, I'm down with that.
it'll be fine. Hi, everyone. We'd love to hear your dream vacation. Maybe it's time for us to be thinking about dream vacation. Like, end of September. We've been working for 2 months. Like, everyone deserves a vacation after being in school for about 2 months.
Ray, we actually have some pretty good stuff to get into today. So, do you want to transition to our Teach Better Talk?
Yes, listener questions. I've been waiting for this one. Thank goodness. We'll be back.
Good morning and welcome back to Teach Better Today. I'm Katie Miglin and this is Ray Hewer, and we are excited to hopefully be starting your day with you. But if you're listening on our podcast, shout out to you. Make sure that you head to the review section, leave us a 5-star review and some comments, and we'd love to hear kind of what you've listened to. How do you listen to us? Are
We're
you
gonna, let us know how you listen to us in the comments, but also we're gonna read the reviews like on a future episode. So maybe we'll be able to give you guys a shout out
There you go.
in a future
But
episode.
yeah, I would love to know, like, are you listening to us on your drive to school? Are you listening to us as you work out? Kind of whatever. How do you listen to us? So we are going to get into what is kind of like meat and potatoes, chips and salsa. I don't know. I think it's had a couple different names, but
Yeah,
this
I think chips and salsa stuck with the most people when we surveyed.
Okay, perfect. So we're going to the chips and salsa. I prefer a side of guac and queso. But this is where we kind of provide some education, like value, give you some food for thought so that you can kind of leave with some thoughts on things that maybe you want to implement in your classroom or your school. But today I'm excited because we're getting into a listener question. This was given to us in our private Facebook group. If you have not joined, strongly, strongly recommend. Such good conversation. So many great educators who are just looking to help each other, which is always so fun. But this particular person asked a grid question, which we see this, right? Like there's tons of grid questions that come in. We travel all over and do trainings. And so sometimes teachers like dabble in the grid method in their classrooms or their schools. And then as they're living it, they start to develop the questions, which makes sense. This question I love because it is something that we talk about, but we don't spend a ton of time necessarily like explaining. But the question is, how do you foster collaboration using the grid in your classroom? And again, it's something that we bring up. We see it, we know it exists, but like if you're really struggling with like how to kind of foster collaboration piece and not necessarily force your students, but provide them authentic opportunities. It is something you want to be intentional about and actually plan. So, Ray, what's your like initial thoughts on that answer?
Yeah, it's interesting. When I read that question, I actually thought they were talking about collaboration teacher to teacher with the grid, but focusing in the classroom is a way more like detailed question. I love that we're getting into this. So I apologize that I read it wrong. I'm super excited to talk about this now. But I will say, I think that there's a common misconception with self-paced learning, meaning independent learning. Like there's this misconception that if you're doing mastery learning where students are learning information at their own pace and only moving forward to new content when they're ready, that it must be in isolation, solo, on your own. And yet we all know that that's not a successful classroom. Like collaboration must be a component of your classroom that has students talking with one another and discovering together are more effective classrooms. So you don't get rid of one good component because you're adding in another good component. You have to figure out a way to keep them both so that you can create the most cohesive and dynamic environment. So there's so many ways to add collaboration. I think that starting us off, it's kind of like the two ways that you can have students collaborate. One is forced collaboration, and one is optional collaboration. So optional collaboration is essentially facilitating a classroom where if it's not an assessment, maybe you're allowing students to work together on assignments or collaborate on just random things in the grid. Like they want to sit next to their friends and they want to work together. Maybe you have some restrictions, like if it's an assessment, they can't do that, but otherwise you're all right with it. Finding some ways where it's an optional element. Forced collaboration, which sounds really aggressive, but I don't, this is how I describe it all the time, is it's something in the grid that they need to have a collaborative group to complete. So maybe they get to an activity and they need to have 3 to 4 people in a group. There's some way that they signify in the classroom, hey, I'm ready for a group to be formed. And then until that group is formed, because they can't do that activity, maybe they move one more step in the grid, they get working, and then when that group is formed, they go backwards and they do that collaborative activity. So it's kind of this blending of when you facilitate it being a requirement versus when you facilitate it being an option that I think can kind of get teachers started with this. What is your typical suggestion for this piece, Katie?
I agree. I think when you're looking at what's the purpose of the collaboration, right? Like, do you want it to be a set activity or a set thing that students need to hear different perspectives? Well, then making sure that that is articulated. So if, you know, you're really thinking, okay, they are going to do this activity, they're going to benefit from having multiple voices at the table, then we want to make sure that we are actually setting them up for that. We don't want it to appear optional. But then at the same sense, like what you said, it's okay to have some things that are like independent only, because like I always used to frame it, I want to know what's in your brain, not what's in someone else's brain. But then I think there's that like middle ground, that like middle area. And you know, we know that there are students who thrive on working independently. They love to dive into content and just kind of be on their own and explore on their own, and that's okay. But then there's also the other side of students who like really do genuinely love working with other people and can benefit. And we're not talking about the students who work together but really spend half the time socializing. We're talking about students who like really prefer having someone else to bounce ideas out, talk through things. And so I think the way you've described it, you kind of hit both ends of the spectrum, but being able to also decide, when are the moments that I'm okay with collaboration? Is it all the time? You know, is there always going to be opportunities for collaboration except for my independent activities, you know, where we've clearly articulated that. You and I both ran classrooms where we were okay with that. It was, unless it was clearly stated that it needed to be independent, we were always okay with there being collaboration. And we saw students thrive with that because they could decide every day. What I loved the most, right, is that we had students who would come in and you could just tell they were kind of like in that squirrely mindset, which we as adults, we have to remember kids aren't a whole lot different than us. You have those mornings where you wake up and you're like in a good mood and you're like kind of have a little bit of hype in you. Giving students space to be able to like talk and get some of that energy out is super important, but making sure that you're setting the tone of that's fine, you can collaborate, but it has to be related to the content and we're not just going to sit and socialize. And I loved seeing that some students would come in with some of that like extra energy and they could burn it in group work. You know, they just would collaborate with their peers, but then the same student 2 days later might come in and they were more tired and they were like, I'm putting my headphones in and I'm just working. And it, the grid really provided that opportunity for all of those like in between moments. So I would say the kind of takeaway is like, decide as a teacher, what do you want? Do you want to be the person that has collaboration all the time, just a part of the everyday norm? Great. Make sure you set those expectations. But then if nothing else, like bare minimum, make sure you make it clear when's independent only, like you said, like these are things that have to be done independently, assessments, whatever. And then what are things that are forced collaboration? So, you know, the kids who will never ask someone to work together, how can we make sure that they still are gaining something from the peers in their classroom and clearly articulating those norms as well?
Actually two things I want to add to this, because it's key things that you highlighted already, but maybe need to just be reframed for people who are thinking through utilizing this in their own classroom. I love that you are focusing on the intention of collaborating. I think that is something that is quickly overlooked, and I just want to spend another intentional moment on it. There are very, very necessary reasons why collaboration should or can enhance an activity that you're offering your students to learn. A really easy example is a science lab. We know a lot of science teachers take time away from the grid to do the beginning components of a lab, because a lab in the earliest stages are just collecting data and observing. And then later on in the grid, they have those students actually analyze the information once they've learned how to do that with the set piece of content. And so really looking at the why behind the collaboration can be a really, really, really important moment of this to make it intentional. The other element I want to add in here, Katie, is some of the collaboration could be not only in one specific activity, but in the way in which you want to instruct your students. And this to me really comes up with like a PE classroom. So I always go to this example. So I have done a grid with a PE teacher at a elementary level who wanted to introduce the basic components of basketball. And let me just be clear, I'm not a PE teacher and I don't know anything about basketball, but they get to be the content like experts. And I was just there like collaborating. Essentially what we ended on was level one of the grid was all focused on basic components of basketball, learning how to dribble, learning hand placement of shooting. Like, I don't even remember because I literally know nothing about basketball, but it was just the basic individual elements. Level two was then pairing up students and having them run drills together. So that's a component where like collaboration is really helpful. They're getting that personalized feedback. It's only a group of two and they're able to practice that skill. Level three was then looking at how you could utilize all those skills to get into like small little games. So they did much larger groups and they actually ran like games throughout the level. And then in level four, they did a tournament, which was super fun. The PE teacher was really excited to do that. So and I think their level five was like exploring how professionals train or anyway, but it was really interesting to see that actually the grid had the majority of the grid being forced collaboration. We were doing some sort of drills or some sort of teamwork, but that first level didn't include any collaboration that was forced. It was all optional because it wanted to really solidify the foundational skills of the game first. So there's so many different ways to look at this. I would encourage everybody to like email Katie and I. We love to like look at grids and give you feedback. And if collaboration is something that you want to focus on, it's so easy to email us and say, hey, can you just look at this grid with a perspective or a lens of collaboration? That's always easiest, in my opinion, is if you give me something specific you want to work on versus, hey, can you look at this grid? And there's like a million things that we could consider, but I feel like there's no way to really perfect collaboration. It's like always something I'm working on as an educator. So I like this.
But also make sure that you're kind of freeing yourself of like, it's not going to happen overnight. So while we talked that we had a lot of collaboration in our classroom, it didn't necessarily happen the next day. It took time. Students needed to feel comfortable because they sit and a lot of classes, depending on what grade level they're in, they might have sat in a lot of classes where they can't naturally work with other students just on the day to day. So if you're like, I want students to feel like they can literally get up and find someone to work with, that does say, take some coaching, and it takes some time for students to get comfortable in that and understand how they work with others. So just keep working at it, keep coaching them, keep talking through like behaviors, what that looks like, so that students feel like they can really take the reins and, you know, make those choices on their own for those non-forced moments. So yeah.
This was such a good listener question. I love these. Guys, you have to keep submitting listener questions. There's not a specific spot. Just direct message us. Put it in the Facebook group. Like, throw it out. Tell us that you want it on the show. It can be anything from something that you're working on in your classroom with students to, you know, like collaborations with colleagues or, you know, like problem solving through leadership components. Just let us know. I love these listener questions. They're my favorite.
Yeah, same.
All right, friends, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Celebrate the amazing things going on, and we hope to see you soon on a future show of Teach Better Today Morning Show. Bye, guys. Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today Morning Show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.